Hey, welcome back to Well, That's Interesting, the I Knew It All Along edition. Today is episode 178. Let's talk vibes. Literally, human cells have a resonant frequency, and there's more than one way to make a black hole. My friends, I am going to go out on a limb here and guess that at some point, or even a few times in your life, you've, air quotes, felt something resonating from a person or even a room. Maybe it felt great, or maybe it felt like a blaring fire alarm telling you to nope the fuck out of that situation. Colloquially, the term we use is vibes, and this sixth sense is a controversial one. From paranormal to instincts to full-on bullshit, it seems like everyone has an opinion on what it could be, if it really exists at all. Well, hold on to your vibrating cheeks. A study published in the journal American Physical Society back in early December of 2023 has shown at least one kind of human cell does give off a frequency. In the first half of the show, who discovered this? Through what process, with what teeny tiny extraordinary equipment, and which human tissue they found popping off? At what rate? All of that shall be revealed. And to top it off, we're going to get into how these vibrations may change how we diagnose and treat diseases in the coming future. It's going to be a big deal. Then after the break, from unfathomably microscopic to the unfathomable heft of the universe, yes, my friends, we're going to have to do this once more. We need to talk about a record-breaking black hole that is, say it with me now, changing the way we look at holes. Yes, you knew a black hole was coming, y'all. We do this at least once a month, and you can thank the heroes and super nerds in the fields of astronomy and astrophysics for all the mind-bending truths they've been revealing lately, including astronomers Priyamvada Natarajan at Yale and Akos Bogdan at Harvard and the Smithsonian, who used the 1-2 punch of NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory and the James Webb Telescope to find a black hole so young and massive it's impossible that it was born from a star. I'm talking about one that formed just a few million years after the Big Bang. Now, how they found it, exactly, how it snapped into existence, and the number bombs, the number bombs they've dropped on us will leave you a twitching puddle. Things are just too big and too small to comprehend today. Oh, and hi, I'm Jill Chacha, and if this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock, my infinite business goose. To begin, I'm going to need you to brush up on your Espanol and slap on some sunscreen, because we're heading on over to the Spanish National Research Council, or the CSIS, in Madrid. Here's a few fun facts about the CSIS. It's the largest public institution dedicated to research in Spain and the third largest in Europe. And according to their website, csis.es, this firebomb of a research institute has its own, quote, special legal status, its own assets and treasury, functional and managerial autonomy, full legal capacity, and of unlimited duration. End quote. Jesus. Hot damn. It's no wonder, then, Javier Tamayo, lead author of the paper we're about to shimmy into, had no second thoughts about investigating a topic that's equal parts taboo and hardly ever been touched upon. For you see, my magical business goose, rumors and thoughts have swirled around the possibility that living human cells have resonant frequencies, or rates at which they naturally oscillate if the conditions are right. In fact, the opening line to Javier and his colleagues' paper starts with this banger, quote, "The question of whether human living cells and physiological conditions exhibit mechanical resonances has remained unresolved for more than 70 years. End quote. That's right. We're talking about vibes, my friends. And thanks to Javier and the gang, we know they're there. Let's get into it. Now, Javier's curiosity began when working with what's called micro cantilevers. Now, what in the holy hell are those, you may be asking? Well, I did too. I got you. I gave it a Google, and believe it or fucking not, This is kind of what I think they look like. Okay, everyone, please imagine a swimming pool. Awesome, fantastic. Now, at the far end of the pool, there's a diving board. Okay, I swear, I think that's what they resemble. Okay, I've got a photo of a simple one over at our social media stuff, so please come on by, tap on today's post, take a look. I'll give you a second. Am I right or am I right? It totally looks like a diving board. And this incredibly tiny diving board, if you will, can bend or vibrate when even tinier material is placed upon the plank, making them useful biomechanical sensors. According to our best buddy, the National Institutes of Health, microcantilevers are one of the most fundamental miniaturized devices used in a microelectrical mechanical systems and are ubiquitous in sensing, imaging, time reference, and biological/biomedical applications. Ooh la la. So they're important and used a lot. So here is Javier having the goddamn time of his life placing an individual human cell on the far end of one of these microcantilevers. And my friends, something totally bizarre occurred. Javier and his colleagues, quote, noticed that sometimes the cantilever moved in subtle but unexpected ways. They started to suspect that those motions came from the cell on top of the cantilever vibrating at some resonant frequency during those experiments. But because cells are very different from the usual objects we think of as resonating strongly, like tuning forks, for example, the idea seemed far-fetched. We could never imagine that a living cell could vibrate like this, Javier told NewScientist.com. Well, my equally mysterious business goose, such an accidental observation only calls for one thing. An experiment. Using human breast tissue. You heard me. Yes, Javier and the gang decided to whip out a single living human breast cell, perhaps because that's what they only had in stock, or maybe because boobs naturally jiggle, I don't know. But that's what they used for this study, and I have boobs, so I can make that joke. Also used, the tiniest of tiny microcantilevers. A 50 micrometer by 270 nanometer, too many meters here, let me do that again. A 50 micrometer by 270 nanometer cantilever made out of silicon and gold. Okay, just how tiny is this exactly? And why the fuck gold, you may be asking. Okay, good question, let's get to it. For context, the average diameter of a human hair can vary between 17 micrometers to 181 micrometers. So this cantilever that was used in this experiment, it was somewhere in between that. And as for its width, one nanometer is a billionth of a meter. To put this into context, a sheet of paper, for example, a sheet of paper is about 100,000 nanometers thick. This microcantilever is 270. It hardly exists. So, as for the fancy bling, there's a purpose. Silicon provides a sturdy yet flexible base, allowing it to bend without breaking, and ye olde gold is highly sensitive to changes in mass. So, when molecules or particles attach to the gold surface, it causes measurable changes in the cantilever's bending. So, fun. My friends, here we are, we have our materials. Let's find out what in the holy hell happened. Over many repeated experiments of picking up and placing boob cells on this microcantilever, quote, they discovered that not only did the process of picking up the cells cause them to vibrate, but their vibration in turn caused the microcantilever to vibrate, indicating that the cells had resonant frequencies. I know, it's wild. The researchers estimated one of these ranges to be between 10 and 30 kilohertz, and the other between 150 and 180 kilohertz. End quote from the fantastically named Holly Large of IFL Science. So there you have it, my shifty business goose. Human cells can give off vibes. But I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. That range between 10 and 30 kilohertz, that sounds really familiar. Didn't we cover that before? Ah, God. Thank God you're here. You are on the right track, just at the other end of it. 2 weeks ago, in the second half of episode 176, I'm doing great today. In the second half of episode 176, extracting audio from a digital photograph, and when a scientist investigated his own haunting, we learned that a researcher who went by the initials VT was having a shitty time at the office, not only because he was at the office, but a wonky fan was producing a 19 hertz sound wave. This falls into the range of infrasound, where the rate of vibration is too low for us to hear, but it definitely affects the human body. If you haven't had a listen to episode 176, I won't spoil those details. I'll only say it's fucked up. As for that 10 to 30 kilohertz range, that's right on the border between audible and ultrasound, where the rate of vibration is too high for us to hear. According to the large, if you happen to be in the quietest room in the world, this means that theoretically, it's possible to hear ourselves. And she's referring to the chamber at Orfield Laboratories in Minneapolis, which holds the current Guinness World Record for the quietest place on Earth. This room is so terrifying, quote, that no one has been able to stay in longer for 45 minutes. You'll hear your heart beating. Sometimes you could hear your lungs, hear your stomach gurgling loudly. In the anechoic chamber, you become the sound. End quote. From Laura Simmons of IFL Science. Well, maybe, just maybe we don't need that room. If infrasound can be picked up by the human body, maybe somehow this nearly audible, bordering on ultrasound can be picked up too. Somehow, somewhere within us. We may get studies on that. But in the meantime, thanks to Javier and the gang, scientists are now focusing on using these vibes to detect and treat disease. John Allen, associate professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, told New Scientist, that if we could detect, I'm just really excited about this, if we could detect certain changes in the resonant frequency of cells, this can alert us to certain diseases. Holy shit! Yang Feng Zhao at Peking University in China was also reached for comment. They believe this could pave the way for using cells' frequencies as treatment, selectively destroying diseased cells with sound waves. Unbelievable. My friends, my chill business goose, definitely watch this space. A deep dive into vibes is probably on the way. After the break, we're moving on from the infinitesimal to the seemingly infinite. That's right, my friends, we are hurling ourselves into the deepest and earliest regions of our universe. And you know what's there? Holes. Always, always holes. We're going to talk about one particular hole, specifically its size, age, and how it confirmed there is a whole other way to make black holes. It's kind of a big deal. Stay tuned.
Strange by Nature, your guide to the strange, weird, unbelievable, and improbable wonders of the natural world.
They make the sound by vigorously rubbing their penis on their abdomen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Then at night, they come out and crawl around your face and mate with each other.
Oh.
But Victoria, get this.
I would like to sleep tonight. As naturalists, let's face it, we find something dead, we go and we poke it with a stick. I did that with the deer like 3 weeks ago.
As you do. Rachel, no, you weren't paying attention. Blood and mucus.
Oh, right, sorry.
All right, this episode is going off the rails.
This is the quality content people come here for.
Strange by Nature podcast was chosen as one of the best science podcasts of 2021. Come join the fun wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we're back. We are so back. And my friends, I'm going to start this half of the show by asking you a question I know you're going to nail. How does a black hole form? I'll give you a sec. Now, if you said anything along the lines of they appear when a star explodes, or from a dying star, a supernova, or, quote, when a sufficiently massive star runs out of thermonuclear fuel and collapses inward and keeps collapsing forever, shrink-wrapping space, time, and light around itself, end quote, yes, that is totally one way a black hole can appear. That quote was from Dennis Overby at the New York Times, and I'll say that very last part again. That's one way a black hole can appear. We now know of another way, and it's just as fucking crazy. Let's get into it. In fact, you know what? I'm not even going to bury the lead. I'm going to drop this discovery on you right fucking here and now. Okay, last year, astronomers took a very in-depth gander at a powerful quasar named UHZ-1. Now, hold up. I'm going to back up. What the fuck is a quasar exactly, you may be asking? Good. I'm glad you did. According to ESAHubble.org, most astronomers believe that quasars, radio galaxies, and the centers of so-called active galaxies are different views of more or less the same phenomenon, a black hole with energetic jets beaming out from two sides. When a beam is directed towards us, we see the bright lighthouse of a quasar. End quote. So, my galactic business goose, this here UHZ-1 is a black hole with a lot happening at either end. And if you'd like a visual, I've got you covered. Just come on by our social media stuffs and tap on today's post. Voila. Inspirational. Now, not only does that make UHZ-1 special, but it's a monstrous black hole. 40 million times as massive as the Sun, and it formed 13.2 billion years ago when the universe wasn't even 500 million years old. Now, if that sounds like this thing is ridiculously big and it got real big ridiculously fast, you're ridiculously right. The star math isn't mathing. As Dennis Overby put it, quote, that isn't enough time to allow black holes created by the first generation of stars, starting out at 10 to 100 solar masses, to grow so big, end quote. The appropriately named Daniel Holes with a Z, a theorist at the University of Chicago who studies black holes, told the New York Times, it is simply too big, too early. It's like looking in at a kindergarten classroom and there, among all the five-year-olds, is one that is 150 pounds and or 6 feet tall, end quote. And my friends, Daniel's visual is pretty spot on. This black hole makes up 10% of UHZ-1's galactic mass. For context, in modern-day galaxies, black holes at their center usually compose less than 1/1000th of a percent of that galaxy. This motherfucker is 10% of its galaxy. So where the fuck did it come from? And how in the holy hell did it get so large so quickly after our universe just popped into existence? Are you ready for this? Clouds. Yes, you fucking heard me. Clouds, bitch. Clouds whose mass makes UHZ1 look like a snack. I'm talking about giant clouds of primordial gas that collapse with such vigor and intensity, they collect $200 and go directly to black holes. And we know this thanks to Priyamvada Natarajan, an astronomer at Yale, and her colleagues. They believe, quote, that in UHZ1, they discovered a new celestial species, which they call an overmassive black hole galaxy, or an OBG. I just think of notorious OBG, but in essence, an OBG is a young galaxy anchored by a black hole that became too big too fast. The discovery of this precocious quasar could help astronomers solve a related puzzle that has tantalized them for decades. Nearly every galaxy visible in the modern universe seems to harbor at its center a supermassive black hole millions or billions of times as massive as the sun. Where did those monsters come from? Could ordinary black holes have grown so large so fast? End quote. From the New York Times. So, my celestial business goose, they could have come from clouds. Yeah, it's fucking poetic and I can't stand it. Now, if you're wondering how in the holy hell Priyamvada and the gang made this discovery, oh, hold on to your gaseous cheeks. This involves an all-star lineup of telescopes and the fabric of space itself. Get ready. My friends, I'm sure you've heard of a little thing called the James Webb Space Telescope, launched just over 2 years ago. Its 21-foot diameter mirror is record-breaking in size, and it has revealed equally record-breaking things. Needless to say, it is in hot demand, and on its to-do list, on its very long to-do list, was investigating a massive cluster of galaxies in the constellation Sculptor, just a wee 3.5 billion light-years away. Now, how big is this cluster, you may be asking? Well, its mass is so heavy, the cluster actually bends space, and that bending acts as a gravitational lens, magnifying objects far, far behind it. Wow. Priyamvada had a eureka moment. Using JWST's mirror and its computational power and that cluster, it might be possible to see with extreme precision UHZ1, which is billions upon billions of light years away. But we're going to need some more help, believe it or not. It's not enough. Priyamvada and the gang asked for time on NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. UZH-1 is so goddamn far that it was thought the best glimpse we're going to get might come from X-rays of whatever gravitational lensing might bring into view. Hopefully X-rays spewing from a black hole. And my friends, it worked. It all worked. UHZ1 came into focus, and with some clickety-clack calculations by Chandra, it was confirmed. Why, yes, this was a quasar powered by a supermassive, overmassive black hole, 40 million times as massive as the sun. And with some clickety-clack calculations by the Webb telescope, it was determined this here hole was 13.2 billion light-years away, making it the most distant and earliest quasar yet found in the universe. Now get this, my starry business goose. Way the fuck back in 2017, Dr. Priyamvada had a theory that collapsing clouds of primordial gas may have birthed black holes more than 10,000 times as massive as the sun. And with this discovery of UHZ1, existing in all its glory just 500 million years into our universe's existence, it's truly possible that theory is right. A lot of gas formed a hole. Or a very large cloud, if you want to be romantic. Either way, you know the drill. If there is one hole, there's probably more. And they could be bigger. I will let you know. I promise. You know me. I got you. And thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, telling your friends. There are vibes. There are boob vibes. And tell them there's more than one way to make a black hole. It's with clouds or gas. Depends on what angle you want to take. And a quasar-sized hug to the folks over at Airwave Media, the podcast network to which WTI belongs. If you love this show, and you do, you love the other podcasts in this family. Oh, and please, stay interesting.